John chapter 14. I want to share with you a central principle that is given by Jesus about the issue of love and obedience. You'll be familiar with the words, but this is huge. It really is. Last week, we were talking about love for the Word and a relationship with the Word and how David, you know, found the scriptures, the commands of God, more desirable than gold, sweeter than honey. And I tell you, the way you approach and think about the Bible is really going to determine, I think, some of your engagement with it. If you think about this book as a book of rules that you ought to read so you can do them better, you're not going to have a good history here. You're really not. We don't function from that level very well. In fact, you'll read it for a while, try to obey it, fail, you'll get discouraged, and then you won't want to read your Bible if you make this Bible about that. If you make this Bible about, I read it more so God will like me, you've twisted grace, and you won't do very well because we don't get God to like us. He loves us, and he likes us through Jesus, and that's how that happens. Really, fundamentally, what I'm saying is, if you make reading the Bible about you, this is the book with the plan of how I can prosper, how I can obey. If you make this book about you, I think you will short-circuit the depth of the glory of what's in here. You've got a shift in your mind about the Bible that it is the self-disclosure of a glorious God making himself and his glory known to us, where he actively, literally speaks to human beings. If you get yourself in a posture like that, there's an expectation, an anticipation that happens every time you engage the scriptures. John 5:39, which I quote all the time, but says that you think through the scriptures, Jesus says to the Pharisees, that through these scriptures you get eternal life, knowing them, obeying them. But I'm telling you, these are the scriptures that speak of me, but you refuse to come to me to get life. When you start to go to this book to get Jesus, to hear from Jesus, and to have relationships, something shifts. It really does. And I want to encourage you as a postlog of last week's sermon. I want to challenge you about your mentality about the Bible. What do you think about it? What is it? What is it for, all right? Again, if you look at it just to go get laws, you can obey. If you look at it as history so you can know. If you look at it as a plan that will bless your life with principles, I tell you, you're thinking lower than what the thing is. It is all that and more. But I tell you, at the pinnacle of what the scriptures are is a glorious self-disclosure of a living God who loves us and is literally speaking to our inner man. And every time he speaks, faith rises. Faith begins to come up in our hearts, and we do and see extraordinary things happen in our lives by the Spirit of God. Now, Jesus, who had a life in the scriptures, he's defeating the devil with the Bible. He's getting his life into agreement with the scriptures. It's living to him. He speaks about his commands in this last kind of, I love John 14, 15, 16, 17. Right at the end before Jesus is crucified, it's an extended, if you have red letter edition, it's like four chapters in red. And here in the beginning of what he's teaching them, in beginning in verse 15, John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Love that verse. Jesus defines what love is. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, or you'll obey me, okay, is another way to what that's saying. And I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you a helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you in Jesus, and he will be in you, the sealing of the Holy Spirit after Pentecost. 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you, yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. In that day, you will know that I'm in the Father, and that you're in me, and I'm in you. Watch 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, watches over, guards them, is what that is, loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I'll love him and manifest myself to him. Jesus is defining, besides saying a lot of things, he really is, he's defining the parameters of what love is. Listen, love is the foundation of obedience. Obedience is law-driven slavery if it's not built in the culture of love, if its foundation is not love. And also, love without obedience is no love at all. To say, I love you, I love you, I love you, now I'm going to go do my thing, is contradictory, is what Jesus is saying. I think that one of the highest expressions of love for the Lord is obedience to his voice and to what he said to us. He likes this, I love you, I love you, I love you. Okay? That's good. Even sing it, loves it. We would never downplay that, but listen. Jesus is saying here, if you love me, you will obey me, and you'll keep my commands. Judas, interestingly enough, in 22, breaks in, and he's so concerned about the public outbreak of Jesus, he says, Judas, said to him, Lord, how is it that you'll manifest yourself to us and not to this world? So this other Judas is making it, he wants to know, in the middle of Jesus trying to teach them personally about him, he wants to know, are you going to make yourself known? Are we going to go public with this thing? Jesus never even stops or hesitates to speak of his question in verse 23. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. Do you see it there, everybody? In 23, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The inverse of this in 24, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Now jump down with me to verse 30. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, but he has no claim on me. Oh, has no ground in me. Verse 30. 31, Jesus says, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know this, that I love the Father. The world can know that I'm a lover of my Father by this issue. I obey him. I obey and I do what he commands. This is the fifth verse about a theme like that. Three times it's clearly said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. Whoever keeps my commands is the one who loves me. Then it's told in the fourth time, it's told in an inverse. Whoever does not keep my commands does not love me. And then Jesus says at the end, I'm walking this out in my own life. I show the world that I love my Father through my obedience. I want to testify to you, not only about a truth, but I want to testify to you about something that's happened in my own personal life. It's been a powerful thing. This scripture, clearly the truth is this. Our showing of true and genuine love to Jesus is through obedience to what he says. What is it that he said? Well, it's the Sermon on the Mount. It's multiple things he says in the gospel. And it's what he's quickening in your heart right now. His commands are, yes, within this, you know, finished canon, but he's also speaking to you personally. It is impossible for you to go, I love Jesus, but I'm rebelling against his word and what he says. That's impossible. Jesus would say, that's not my kingdom. You don't understand love. You've got some kind of perverted form of love. Because you're wooed and you love and then you disobey. Now listen, are we perfect? Absolutely not. Are we struggling and stumbling as we're doing this thing? Absolutely. Can I love Jesus though I screwed up last Thursday? Yes, but last Thursday when I screwed up, I wasn't loving Jesus is what my point is. I was rebelling against that. When Jesus said, go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey me. Teaching them to obey everything I commanded. You know what he's saying? Go make lovers of me. This is what I consider people who love me. It's people who surrender and say, yes, I'm in, and I obey. And I'm actually going to show you my love through my obedience. Now, lest you get in condemnation, which is never my point, okay, about, okay, I'm struggling with obedience, so you're telling me I don't love him. I'm telling you, you might have a heart attitude overall that loves him, but I want to challenge you not to excuse habitual, knowing activity of disobedience and say you're still a lover of God? I think Jesus, the King, would say that's impossible. His blood was shed to wash away your disobedience. His Spirit has come to begin to mature and empower your obedience. Now listen, I'm better. I'm better at 47 than I was at 27 in obeying Jesus. I am. Did I not love him at 27? Yes. But I was having more and more moments of not loving him, of rebellion in the midst of a life of loving him. I hope that makes sense. Okay? I love Amy. I'm in with the redhead. I'm all in. I'm there. I'm 25 years down the deal. I'm going another 25 if God gives us breath. Love her. But you might ask Amy, do I always act loving toward her? I'm in with the covenant. I'm all in. Even in the bad moments, I'm not walking away. I'm not going to do it. But I'm very unloving, and she's got a great, great mental record of every time I've ever done that. I mean, reaches back to college. It's a shocking deal sometimes when she, and I'm not saying she hasn't forgiven me, but I just pray for Amy. Okay, so anyway. But I'm in. But I got moments where I'm not, I think I'm better at manifesting my declared love at on a mountain in Illinois. I said, I'm with you. I'm going to serve you always. You know, I mean, I don't know. I almost chuckle when I hear people give their vows at weddings. I mean, it's awesome. But does anybody else go, right? I mean, a little bit, like, it's the best you can think of. Everybody's listening. Amy brought that up to me a few times for the couple years after, because I was passionate, man. I was everything I was going to do right. And I'm just stumbling my way through being a weak old guy who loves my wife, but has a lot of unloving moments. Now, here's my point to you this morning, is that I know you love Jesus, but I think that the Holy Spirit is the only way that you live out holiness in your life. Galatians 5:16 says, if we walk according to the Spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of the sinful flesh. That's a great, I love that verse. The Holy Spirit is the only way, walking in him, that I live holiness out of my life. God's not asking me to grit my teeth and try harder. He's asking me to walk in the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense, everybody? But there are certain mentalities that agree with walking in the Spirit and some that disagree. So, if obedience for you, I think most people, you say obedience and there's a minor twitch. A little bit of a, you know, because you immediately think of where you didn't obey. You think it's an ugly word that's kind of dry. Let's talk about something more, you know, whatever. Obedience is a beautiful word. From Genesis all the way through, God truly shows it's the way that we express our love to him. If we love him, we obey him. If you say with your mouth you love, but don't obey, he's like, I'm telling you, there's a hypocrisy in that. So he defines for us obedience is the way that we show that love. And I think that we need a mentality change about obedience. The reason that we twitch is because I still think what we do with the Bible, we do with obedience. We make obedience this way to where we are not going to get into trouble. I'm going to obey because when I disobey, I get into trouble. My kids are at that level. Josh right now is just being an animal. I mean, I love Josh, but he's 2.5 or 3, and he keeps expressing his opinion to us when I've not asked for it. You know what I mean? Go to the bathroom. I don't have to. I've already gone. I've whatever. And I'm like trying to communicate with my 2-year-old and 3/4. I'm not wanting to have a conversation with you. I want you to obey and go pee so you don't pee on my bed again. And so I'm having to work with him because something in his nature is going, I've got an opinion. I know this better than you, Dad, about multiple things. So I'm trying to instill a bit of healthy fear in him so he'll obey and check his heart. He'll think before he does the attitude. He'll think. But that's not the fullness of what I want for him. I want Josh to obey me because he loves me. I want Josh to obey me because he loves his daddy's heart, and he's going to do that stuff. So I'm trying to implement some of those things, and they're going to come better. I just dealt with another one of my children. I won't mention their name and what age they are, but around another heart issue, okay? And I didn't have to do the thundering daddy thing like I do to a hard-headed 2-year-old. I'm sitting there talking to this person's heart, to her heart. I'm just trying to get in there and communicate and make a connection, right? I'm trying to express my heart. I'm looking at the child right now. I so love Glory, who's 10 and not yet perfect. She's beautiful, beautiful, and growing. But I don't have to deal with her with the Josh, stop, boom, consecrate. I don't have to do that with Glory. With Glory, it's like, can we sit down? You love me. I love you. I need to express to you how you're missing the mark a bit here. You know? And I'm going to help you get through that. It's a totally different process as we've grown in relationships. Does that make sense? This happens with us with the Lord. He doesn't have to bang you. You know, earlier days, he had to really bang on my door. Now he's wooing my heart and having conversations with me. It's an awesome thing. But listen, obedience. Obedience, if it is, I'm going to not get in trouble and get caught by people. That's a terrible place to live. That's fear. Or obedience is, I'm going to get God to like me. Does it make him like you better? It really doesn't. Obedience is your gift to God of saying, I love you. That's what it is. You obeying basic commands and what he's saying in your spirit is you saying, it's the stage on which you stand with your megaphone and say, I love you. Now I'm going to say it with my words, but watch this. Now everybody stick with me. This is the deal. This is a spirit, mind of the spirit mentality that I believe is anointed and will set you free from some of the things you're in. When obedience shifts from the thing I got to do, but my flesh wants to do that. Now I decide, can I get away with it? Or is God going to get, when you move out of that to, I've got this option before me to sin or to whatever, and I'm going to offer up to Jesus, I love you, with obedience, something powerful begins to happen. So, let me give you practical examples. I believe in young people, listen to me. Listen. When you shift your mind and go, I've got this opportunity right now to be unforgiving. Okay, someone was wicked toward me, spoke a word, spoke behind my back. I'm sitting here right now with a clear command from the Lord. Bless those who curse you. Never avenge yourself. Forgive and do not be offended. I've got that right before me, okay? I can engage in negative dialogue and dog them personally or go get a couple of my friends and say, Chip, come here, let me tell you about Bob. And I can do that, engage my heart, and it'll feel better emotionally for a while, but you know where it ends. It ends you feeling funky and low. Or I can, in that moment, decide, I'm going to tell Jesus I love him. I'm going to tell him by doing this. I forgive him. I forgive. I'm going to go to them, engage them. You hurt me. This was tough. But listen, I forgive you. I'm praying for you. And I want to have peace with you. When I did that, I just didn't deal horizontally. I sent a message up vertically that I love Jesus. Listen, when the temptation comes, when it comes, Delilah is dancing before you, or Dan, for you women. And here's that opportunity for lust to engage your eye gate that goes into your imagination gate that involves you at the heart level that then leads you to body response. Everybody listen. You have an option right there. And the option's bigger than I'm going to lust and do that or I'm not going to lust. It's bigger than that. It's I'm going to choose to either say I don't love you or I love you. I'm going to take my eye away from that thing. I'm going to say no and I'm going to say, Jesus, you're worth more than that. I love you. I'm going to actually turn this moment of purity and holiness into worship unto you. That's a big deal. It really is a big deal. I've been experiencing radical freedom in multiple levels of my life, relationally and personally, because of this revelation that obedience is the stage I stand on to proclaim my love for my Savior. That it's, yes, when I sing, yes, when I raise my hand, but it's my very action of deciding for holiness. When I do it, and listen, I'm not doing it for me. I'm not going to do this because it's what Christians don't do. Holy Spirit doesn't anoint that. I'm telling you. I don't think he does. I think he anoints what's for the glory of God and for the love of God. You got to get that. If you've made your obedience about you, you're doing a less obedience, and it's a non-biblical. Obedience is for him. Does everybody understand what I mean? It's for him. I'm not obeying so I don't get caught. I'm not obeying so I get him to like me. I'm not obeying so I have a good life. I'm obeying because I'm saying, I love you. I love you. It says that Moses endured the wrath of Egypt and where he was living and what he was doing with his decisions instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He said, no, I say no to that. I know I'll get pleasure right there. But right now, I go for a higher pleasure. I love you. I won't do this. And I'm telling you, when your mentality shifts and your obedience is about a statement of love to Jesus, there's an anointing that comes that's fresh. So the person who's offended you, who hacks you off, you thinking of them right now? You want to punch them in the face right now? When you think about them, if you'll do what we're talking about here and think about, I'm going to say I love you to Jesus by engaging my heart in mercy for forgiveness, you just made that person smaller in your consciousness and mentality. They're so big in our minds when we make it about them. Have you noticed that? It's all you can think of. Their words are all you can think of. And they're so big. Or if you make it about you and being noble, I'm going to be the forgiver. All of a sudden, you're really big in your consciousness. But I tell you, if you'll turn away from all that junk and go, I choose. I love you, Jesus. I say no to that. That whole thing is nothing compared to my opportunity now to say that I love you. So we can look away from that thing. We can restrain from that word. Listen, I was at a volleyball game. This is ridiculous. But I just want to testify what's going on. I went to a volleyball game at one of my girls' games about a month ago. Walked in here at the deal. And there's a couple of people in here that were there when this happened. But I walked in, and somebody that attends here was talking to a person who doesn't attend here and might not be a Sam fan. You know, I know it's hard to imagine that they're out there, but might not be a Sam fan, and I know about it. So I walked in, and I saw the person who attends here. The person who's not the Sam fan had their back to me. And I walked in, and I literally, Kathy Cutler from First Baptist was over here. And I got obsessed with her. She just asked me to pray for her, and we were slapping five and goofing off. So I kind of said, hey, to the person who attends here, grabbed Kathy and hugged her and went right in. I went in and sat down. I'm watching the game, and I look over, and I see the non-fan. And I went, oh, my gosh, that looks like I gave them the cold shoulder, heavy. So I sat there watching volleyball, trying to focus on girls' volleyball. It was great. I'm not saying anything. But conviction was on my heart. I was sitting there trying to focus, and I was like, ugh. Now, my flesh is going, they deserve me to ignore them. But I've got a Bible verse that says, bless those who curse you and greet those who've spoken evilly. You know, I've got that thing. And so it's in my heart. I go and I look, and the person's gone. We've got to run between games home. I get into my house, and we're going to go back to the game in an hour. And I'm like, I can't get it off my mind. The conviction of the Holy Spirit was there. And by the grace of God, because in my heart, I didn't want to just look noble, because that's not enough for me to want to talk to this person. But because of the grace of God that came in my heart, I was like, I love Jesus more than I love being a snubber, even though it was accidental. I hope this is making sense to people. So I, like a fool, went back to the next game, and I'm perusing the volleyball game looking for the non-Sam fan. And there were multiple there, by the way. It was interesting. But I was like, wow, that one doesn't like me. Anyway, you know, you live and you learn. But so I find the one, though, that I knew. I walked up and said to this person, hey, I came in earlier. You were standing right there, weren't you? Did you see me go by? Yeah. Did you notice I didn't say hi to you? Yeah. I go, hey, I'm really, really sorry. I didn't see you, you know, and I don't want my heart to be like that. And I tell you what, when I started engaging and doing this, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was just going and going and going. I want to say something too. Roger Veal was there. Roger's smiling right now. Roger was there and knows this story. Roger comes up to me, and I don't know that this is good, but Roger comes up and goes, hey, you're apologizing to everybody. How about me? I got a few things. That wasn't helpful. But no, it was. But I tell you, when I engaged and turned away from what my justice and heart wanted to do, and I started to obey under the conviction and lead of the Spirit, but I got my mentality, I'm going to say I love you, Jesus, whether I look good at this person or not. By the way, the person hadn't totally noticed or thought a lot about me ignoring them, you know? But I had this engagement. Actually, I talked to this person I hadn't talked to in like 9 months. I mean, it had been a long time. And I just did it. I felt filled with the Spirit. I felt filled with affection in my heart for this person. I walked away. We had this amazing 5-10 minute conversation. I'm not sure they're a fan, but you know what I mean? It was nice to make the heart connection during that time. And it all happened because the Spirit of the Lord was drawing my heart, and then I stepped and began to obey what I didn't want to do. And then the Spirit of God came. As I said, I love you, Lord, by that obedience, the anointing of the Spirit came and transformed my heart. Does this make sense to everybody? I love this. I love it. I love it that my obedience is not about not getting caught. My obedience is not about disappointing you. My obedience is not about me feeling good about me. My obedience is, I love you, Jesus, so I won't speak this evil word. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have that attitude. And I began to transform my heart. And I tell you, when you get that, it's a mentality that the Holy Spirit anoints. May the Lord anoint us to obey Jesus and thus show him our love. You can do things you've never thought you could do. I know there's people, as I end right here, there's some of you in here, I can never stop feeling this way about that individual. You need to be careful. It's powerful what the Holy Spirit can do in a human heart that begins to obey and has the anointing. You can love the unlovable. It's ridiculous. This has happened to me a few times in my little experience where I thought, that's crazy injustice. They hurt somebody close to me. And I'm like, no way. And I mean, a miracle happened in my heart. And I felt affection. It was like it had never happened. This can happen for us. The same thing with your personal sins that are private. You're like, I can never. I've repented 50 times. I've tried. All I'm trying to do is to get you to get the I out of your holiness. Get the I out of your holiness. This is not about you succeeding and being pure just for your sake. This is about you saying, I love you. I love you and thank you for this opportunity of this pleasant pain that I'm feeling by saying no to my flesh and saying yes to you. And I'm telling you, the payoff of the presence of the Spirit is a glorious, glorious thing. May the Lord mature us in obedience. May you obey everything that's before you. And may you make it about a love language to Jesus instead of about you. Let's all stand. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for the power of the gospel. We thank you that those who love you obey you. I pray that you would dust off obedience, all the funky stuff that's linked to it in our lives, the dread, the shame for lack of it in our lives. And I pray that obedience would become this amazing stage within which on we could stand and proclaim that we love you, Jesus. I pray we would use these opportunities of temptation to actually be able to overcome. I just pray these things wouldn't be these things we dread anymore. Release our hearts, Lord, from self-centered Christianity, self-centered obedience. Let us love to obey, love to show you our love by saying yes to you, then trusting you to let us not sink out on the waters of obedience. Lord, we need a miracle to love that person, to overcome that sin, to do this thing that you've called us to do. But you're the one who does miracles if we'll say yes and obey. So, Father, I pray, make obedience delightful to your people this morning. May their hearts actually enjoy the prospect of facing trial, facing temptation, and having the opportunity to literally obey your commands and honor you and worship you. Go ahead, Jonathan, you play a little bit there, buddy. If everybody, we just for a moment, I got about 3 minutes left here. Holy Spirit, I pray you minister in this room. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for worship. Right now, would you come and set the captives free? Lord, I pray for those in the room that are in trouble right now because they're choosing to disobey. Lord, touch their weak hearts. Draw them to you. May they love loving you and loving what you love. I pray for those that are riddled in shame. There's just a microphone of shame into their, as the enemy just continually accuses them for past disobedience. Lord, release them in Jesus' name. And while we're standing, don't waste this moment. I know we're near the end and we can think about that, but listen, open up your heart to the Holy Spirit. I believe He wants to do and is doing some things right now in people. Holy Spirit, do in us what we can't do in ourselves. Holy Spirit, transform our hearts. I feel led to ask two questions, and I hope you'll respond. I'm not with you individually. We're the group, so forgive the awkwardness. But if you have ever disobeyed God in your spiritual history, since you've been a Christian, would you please just raise your hand and put it back down? Great. That should have been almost everyone. My second question is, if some of those moments of disobedience in your life still haunt you today, would you please raise your hand and put it back down? Yeah, okay. So, Father, right now, I'm asking you take the leverage of the enemy away from those that raised their hands and the twice as many that didn't to that question. Would you touch their hearts and free them? Jesus' name. Now, watch, just real quick here, and again, I'm just doing this for modeling's sake. I'm not doing it because I'm trying to put a show on. Everybody kind of look over here if you would, but this kind of happened before in my heart, an impression, and then it happened big time then, but Jamie, I continue to see you in my inner man dressed in white robes, just fresh white robes, and I think the price tag that hangs off of it says free. It says free, brother, white robes. And I love the Zechariah, I think it's in Zechariah chapter 3. Joshua, the high priest, is before the Lord. And you remember that? He's wearing dirty clothes. And the Lord changes his clothes, says he's a firebrand, plucked from the fire. And the Lord restores him and rebukes the enemy that was accusing him. I see you there. I see you freshly clothed in white clothes that are free. And that your confidence is based in what He's given you and not in what you've done by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Are you encouraged? Don't say no because it's going to look really bad if you do. Yeah. John, how you doing, buddy? Good to see you. Same thing. Same thing. I see some white robe boys standing in here. I see white robes on you. White robes that you did not earn, that were freely given to you. That are given you, and you should have confidence in His free giving, not in what you've done or not done. You need to pray for Him to be able to possess His white robes. And listen, you don't have to be like her. You don't have to be like him or her or her or them or me. You get to be like you. I see you standing in white robe, brother. I pray the Lord bless you with a sense of holiness, with a grace of holiness. Father, in Jesus' name, bless John. Pray for a conviction, Jamie. Convict them of who they are in Christ and what you've made them to be. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. Set them free from the leverage of shame. In Jesus' name, amen. You too. You know it, right? Stand in free stuff. White. Amen. Now, I just did that, and I'll end here, but I do that because, listen, I think that's happening to all of you about each other. It's part of the living stone being the living stone is that we speak to one another, this towering, giant man of God, of whom I'm distracted by, not only because I'm jealous of your height, but you just keep standing out to me as a princely, kingly man, and God is so gripping your heart. What's over here? Jump-starting your heart, drawing you out. And listen, you know what I'm doing? What I'm doing is I'm responding to, I could do this if we break the meeting and I walk around. I'm just responding to what the Spirit's saying in me to bless him. Are you blessed? We could do this. You got to fire each other, you know what I mean, by speaking to one another. So I'm going to end and pray. Hello, white robe buddy. Oh, our man who made a declaration a couple weeks ago. Listen, I want you to take a moment. I'm going to close in prayer. Maddie, I'm going to close in prayer, okay, Maddie? But I want prophetic people and all of us who are a people, I want you to look around the room right now. Take a moment. Just look around. See if anybody stands out to you. It's okay if they don't right now, but just look around. Be awkward. Sam's being awkward. Look. Father, release vision in our hearts. You're building a holy temple. And it's living stone to living stone, speaking the word to one another, encouraging each other in Christ. And I pray, Father, that you would release the body of Christ to be the ministers of Christ for the glory of Christ. We love you. We thank you for your word today. Let it go deep in our hearts and help us to set each other free to gladly obey for the love of Jesus. We give you glory this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.